This is Keith Hall with Jazz Currents. Join me as we explore the music of trumpeter Miles Davis. In the next two episodes of Jazz Currents, we'll celebrate what would have been the 90th birthday of Miles Davis. Miles had a career that spanned over 50 years, including over 100 albums as a leader, and he was a primary voice in many of the important developments in jazz history. When we look back at the career of Miles Davis and the many musicians that have come through his bands, two combinations stand out. The first great quintet of the 1950s with Coltrane, Garland, Chambers, and Jones, and his legendary second great quintet featuring Wayne Shorter, Herbie Hancock, Ron Carter, and Tony Williams. In this, our fourth episode, we'll dig into the rich catalog of this 1960s quintet. In 1955, after fulfilling his recording contract with Prestige Records, Miles Davis began recording for Columbia Records and continued throughout the 60s. But in 1962, his band had dissolved, as Hank Mobley was now pursuing his solo career, and the trio of Wynton Kelly, Paul Chambers, and Jimmy Cobb had moved on to work as their own group. Miles Davis, always the visionary, kept moving ahead, and in April of 1963, he recorded seven tunes on the West Coast with British pianist Victor Feldman, tenor saxophonist George Coleman, bassist Ron Carter, and drummer Frank Butler. The next month, Miles went back to New York City and re-recorded the up-tempo tunes with George Coleman and Ron Carter, and found two new gentlemen that would be with him for the next 6 years, pianist Herbie Hancock and 17-year-old drum phenom Tony Williams. The result was a record entitled Seven Steps to Heaven, and here is the title track, a composition by Victor Feldman. Pianist Herbie Hancock was originally introduced to Miles by trumpeter Donald Byrd in New York City, and his flexible sense of rhythm and harmony was a great fit for Miles. And Tony Williams, now the youngest one in the group at 17, had worked previously with Jackie McLean. Miles said that Tony blew his mind the first time he heard him with McLean. Miles loved playing with Tony because he always lit a fire under everyone. And even though Miles was still dealing with health issues and pain in his joints, when he played with Tony, he forgot all about it. Even though the band played similar music to that of the earlier Davis bands, including bebop and standards, they employed more rhythmic and harmonic freedom. And the up-tempo tunes, they were now burning. From the album Miles in Europe, here's Tony, Herbie, Ron, George, and Miles with Walkin'. February of 1964, Miles and his band were to perform for a benefit concert at the recently built Philharmonic Hall of Lincoln Center, now known as David Geffen Hall. The event was co-sponsored by the NAACP, the Congress of Racial Equality, and the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. Miles' young band was excited to play here for the first time, and this event was an important moment for them. However, when the band found out they were not getting paid, they were irate. And so, as you'll hear, their anger may have added to the intensity and breakneck tempos. From the album The Complete Concert 1964, here's a tune Miles first recorded back in 1959 on Kind of Blue. However, this is a much faster version of So What. Although this was a successful concert and Miles liked George Coleman on tenor saxophone, Tony Williams had made it clear that he didn't like playing with him. Eventually, George Coleman quit the band, and Miles' first choice to replace him was Wayne Shorter. Now, Wayne had just joined Art Blakey's Jazz Messengers and was now the musical director. So, Williams recommended Sam Rivers instead. And he was in the band for a short time until news made it to Miles that Wayne had left Art Blakey. Miles immediately sent Wayne a first-class plane ticket, and their first concert was at the Hollywood Bowl. The quintet recorded their first album on tour in Berlin, and Miles had begun to perform his tune Milestones again after Tony Williams had told him how much he loved the original record from 1957. From the album Miles in Berlin, here is the Tony Williams request, Milestones. In January 1965, the new quintet with Shorter recorded their first studio album entitled ESP, and it included compositions by Herbie, Ron, Miles, and Wayne. Let's hear a bit of the title track. Later in 1965, the Miles Davis Quintet had a two-night engagement in Chicago at the Plug Nickel. This album was released as a double LP in Europe and the U.S. in 1982, but the complete recording was released in a box set of 8 CDs in 1995. I specifically remember purchasing this when it was released. It was the most money I'd ever spent on a single recording, but as I began to listen, I knew it was money well spent. The Plug Nickel is full of mostly standards and many tunes that had been played by the 50s quintet, but now the approach was much freer. The quintet's concept came to be known as Time No Changes. There was a pulse to the music, but they did not adhere to conventional chord changes, and many times they took more of a modal approach. This tune was originally recorded 10 years earlier by the 50s quintet, but now with a new band, we have a much different version. This is If I Were a Bell. Miles and the quintet were enjoying much success, and in the Downbeat Readers poll, they won the Record of the Year, Best Combo, and Miles was first on the trumpet chart. And the album in 1967 called Nefertiti was Davis's last full acoustic album and consisted mostly of Wayne Shorter compositions. You can really hear the band stretching out here. This tune is unusual as the horns and rhythm section flip roles. The horns repeat the melody numerous times, and the rhythm section improvises and builds underneath. Let's hear Nefertiti. In 1967, the quintet began playing their live concerts in continuous sets. Each tune flowed into the next, and only the melody would indicate any sort of distinction. The album, No Blues, was recorded in Paris in late 1967, and it serves as the last recording of just this quintet, because soon after, Miles would begin experimenting with additional players and electric instruments. From the album, No Blues, here is the classic Thelonious Monk composition, Round Midnight. Between 1965 and 1967, the Miles Davis Quintet produced over a dozen studio and live recordings that have forever changed the course of jazz. Davis was responsible for assembling an all-star group of musicians who took his music to a new level, and they continue to influence jazz musicians to this day. Join us next time for our fifth and final episode celebrating the 90th birthday of Miles Davis, as we'll hear the electric side of his music up through 1991. I'm Keith Hall, and Jazz Currents is produced at WMUK with support provided by the Irving S. Gilmore Foundation and the Western Michigan University School of Music. Be sure to check out WMUJazz.com for upcoming jazz events. And make sure you get out and experience some live jazz. See you soon.